You know, many years ago, we, the whole family, took a vacation trip to San Juan Island near Seattle. I don't know how many of you have been there. It's a beautiful place. One of the things that we had to do was to take a ferry ride to an island called Arcus. It's one of the bigger islands over there. And that ferry was a really big ferry. Many cars and many people could get into the ferry. The ride took about 45 minutes, and then the people got off, the car get off. This reminded me of my experience in Hong Kong. I grew up in Hong Kong. And when I was in middle school, I had to take a ferry ride also across the bay, across the harbor to reach my school. And I did that for 4 years. Many people rushed into the ferry and many people rushed off. It didn't matter to the ferry who the people were. You're just one of the crowds. So, you know, Hong Kong, there's a lot of people, right? Yeah. You had to fight to get into the ferry. You had to fight to get into the bus, right? That's how things are. And it really didn't matter to the ferry. When I was in the ferry that long time ago, I remember wondering about this. It's life. Just like a ferry ride. Rush in and rush off, leaving no traces in the ferry. And I thought, how mundane, you know. At that time, I was already thinking about that. How ordinary. It is like the description in the book of Ecclesiastes. Generation come and generation go, but the earth remain forever. The sun rise and the sun set. You know, and the day goes, right? Why did God create all these people for this mundane existence? You know, one of the authors that I liked said, if we add up all the grand moments of our life, most of us end up with a little pile of it. However, if we collect all the ordinary moments, we have a big piles. Many people, when they graduated from high school, we think, oh, wow, these people hold great potential in life. But by the time they reach 35 or 40, we know they are just one of us, had an ordinary existence. Yeah. I know, I'm way past that. That's why I go into the ministry, you know. I work for San Diego Gas and Electric Company. That is really a stable company, right? A lot of people retire from that company. I worked there for 15 years, and my seniority is still very low because so many people work there for 30 years, 40 years, you know. Mundane existence, you know. Sometimes I wonder why that is. And then I think of Jesus, whose life was short, who was born a carpenter's son, brought up in a poor village, not much educational opportunities, no big connection, no political clout, and yet he left a huge, huge, irreplaceable impact in humanity. Well, you may say, yeah, he is the Son of God. Of course, he could do that. But as I think deeper about this, I urge you not to dismiss quickly as this. He is the Son of God, no question about it. But the Bible also tells us in Philippians 2:6 that Jesus made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant and came to earth. He left his mark in humanity, not using any of his divine privileges. He did all that as a normal human being. How did he do that? Of course, the gospel leaves us with many clues. However, this morning I'm going to share with you a couple of key features that distinguish Jesus' life. They are the two of the reasons why Jesus made such a difference. Jesus' life made a difference for us and for eternity. Now, I want to summarize these features in two words: kingdom vision. Jesus had kingdom vision. And then as I observed in history, many servants and disciples after him who made a difference in humanity also bear this mark. They had kingdom vision. All servants who will make a difference in this life and for eternity must have this kingdom vision. Well, I share with you this morning now from the book of John, chapter 4, the passage we just read. This is a familiar story of the Samaritan woman at the well. Of course, this is such a spiritually rich story that people preach numerous sermons from. Jesus and his disciples were returning to Galilee from Jerusalem. They went right straight through Samaria. The Jews normally would have to get around it because they despised the Samaritans. They didn't want to have anything to do with them. So they would take a circuitous route and get around it. But Jesus didn't. He was different. He went there for a purpose. He wanted to reach the Samaritan. So they stopped at a well in Samaria in high noon. And Jesus was tired and hungry. The disciple went off to town to buy food for him. Jesus was just waiting at the well, and there he met the Samaritan woman. He talked about her past and introduced himself to her, the Messiah that they were waiting for. She then left the water jar and went back to town and told people about Christ. And then it came to the passage we just read. The disciple returned with food for Jesus. They urged him to eat. But now Jesus had changed his mood. He said to them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." The disciple was confused. Hey, somebody bought him food? Why did he change his mind? Why did he change his appetite, you know? And then Jesus declared, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish or accomplish his work." What is kingdom vision? How do we develop that vision? Jesus' declaration here is a tremendous clue. Yeah. All people who have kingdom vision must have this, and I call it kingdom appetite. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. That is kingdom appetite. Do you want to make a difference in this life? Do you have this appetite? You have to ask yourself, do you have this appetite? We Chinese know Confucius. Confucius is known to have a great appetite for study. Yeah. History told us that sometimes he studied to the point that he skipped meal and sleep. You know, that was Confucius' passion for studying. Yeah. And Jesus here showed his great passion for God's work, yeah, to the point that he could skip meal. Yeah. Many of us actually know about this type of passion. Some people really have this passion for their own work, right? For their career. We call them workaholic, right? Yeah. Many people here in L.A. particularly, you know, they work 50, 60 hours a week. Yeah. They don't come home until very late. Yeah. They do have this kind of appetite, but not necessary for the work of God. Yeah. And we young people also are capable of this kind of passion. We do video games, don't we? We do video games and skip meal and sleep. So we're all capable of some kind of passion. But is it direct to the work of God? That is the question. So many of us know about this type of passion. Now, the reason why we have so much mediocrity in churches or among the Christian or among the minister in that is that we don't have, somehow we left out this kind of passion for God or for God's work. And we don't have such appetite for the kingdom. In my observation, most Christian or ministers' appetite for God is sometimes mixed. Now, we do have to a certain degree that we maintain the passion for God's work, but oftentimes it's mixed with our own self-interest. When Jesus skipped the meal and declared to the disciples, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish or to finish his work," nothing is purer than his appetite for the kingdom. When Jesus skipped the meal, he was in effect skipping self-interest. His heart for God was so pure. So in order to develop this kingdom vision, we need to purge that self-interest. I'm sure that many of you heard of about this organization called World Vision. World Vision is the organization that we go to when some calamity happen in the world, we want to extend our hand to help. We'll send our donation to World Vision. World Vision is a Christian relief and development organization dedicated to help children and their community worldwide. And its founder is Dr. Bob Pierce. He developed this organization in Korea in 1953. How did Bob Pierce develop such a kingdom vision with such eternal impact? During the half century of the existence of this organization, he had helped millions and millions often, children and other needy adults in the world. How did he develop that? After he passed away, people discovered in his Bible that there's a verse written by him in his Bible. It says, "Let my heart be broken with the thing that breaks the heart of God." Let my heart be broken with the thing that breaks the heart of God. He often said that when he really dragged his camera across Southeast Asia, China, Korea, etc., to show the world the need of these people. He said, "These people's suffering become a part of his own suffering. I literally felt the child's blindness, the mother's grief, etc., etc." Bob Pierce was the one who had kingdom appetite. He could actually repeat after Jesus, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." Yeah. Unfortunately, we somehow, most Christians, even ministers, somehow lose that purity of that passion. Oftentimes we could say to my foot is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish my work. Notice the difference. Jesus said his work, not my work. I can give you an example. You know, about a decade or a couple decades ago, many American churches are in love with the mega church trend and development. Mega church. Mega secret churches. Yeah. And you know who's famous for that? That's Rick Warren. You know, he said in his book, Purpose Driven Life, he had taught over 100,000 pastors in 100 countries, more than 250,000 pastors and church leaders from over 125 countries have attended his seminar, How to Develop a Mega Church. But I wonder, if a discipleship conference or the evangelism, how to do evangelism, a conference for how to do evangelism, I wonder if those would draw similar size of audience. Yeah. In serving the Lord, we must ask ourselves ruthless question: what is really our food? What kind of food do we truly desire? When we are doing the word of the Lord, what appetites are we serving? Are we serving our own desire, our own needs, or mixed with something with that? And then I really thought of the young adult of my church when I was in San Diego. For 5 years that I was there, a small group of young adults have been diligently serving the youth of my church. My church was very small at that time. So I don't have a good-sized young adult ministry. So these few young adults stay in my church just for the purpose of serving the youth. I often feel bad about it because they don't have a good fellowship to help them, you know. But they keep serving. They keep giving themselves without really attending to their own needs, you know. I admire them. I believe they can also say after Jesus, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. That is kingdom appetite. I hope we can all say after Jesus, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. That is kingdom appetite. And then Jesus continued, do you not say 4 months more and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the field. They are ripe for harvest. Somehow people saw the ordinary. Jesus saw the unusual. Jesus saw a field of people ripe for the gospel. When ordinary people just saw a field of crop. When you see a field of crop, then there are 4 more months to go, right? But Jesus saw a field of people ripe for salvation. Kingdom vision. Jesus' kingdom vision also came true. A little bit later, the Bible said the whole village of the Samaritan people believed in him. Hallelujah. Wonderful. How did Jesus acquire such sharp vision for his time? Of course, having a kingdom appetite is the big reason. No doubt about that. Here Jesus provided another big reason. He said, open your eyes and look at the field. Open our eyes and look at the field. With a kingdom appetite, we will discern God's will for our times. Jesus opened his eyes. He looked at the field. But before he did that, First of all, Jesus had to travel all the way to Samaria on purpose. His experience with the woman at the well was his connection with the world to which he was sent to minister. Across probably hundreds or tens of miles, he sought out that woman. Jesus made that kind of effort to connect with his world. And then he looked at his field with a spiritual perspective. Therefore, if we want to discern God's will for our time or for ourselves, we need to do two more things. Make effort to connect with our world and look at our world with a spiritual perspective. Many Christians have been in church for many years, yet they are still at a loss for what God wants them to do in their life. Right? When we try to evangelize the non-believer, we tell them, hey, become a Christian, you'll find meaning in life. But once we became a Christian, after 10, 20, sometimes 30 years, we're still at a loss. What's the purpose and meaning of our own life? Why? Jesus' action here declare another clue. A major reason is that why we don't have that kingdom vision. I can very well say this. Kingdom vision doesn't develop in the confines of our own home or when we just sit here within the walls of the church. Jesus made an effort to connect with his world, with the people that he was serving. I really like Pastor Nick. Every time he come here to the pulpit, he said, we don't just come to church. You are the church. Yeah. When you are at home, you're still part of the church. You don't just come to church. You know. You are an agent sent by God to connect with this world. You know. Granted, in our internet age, we can have a lot of information just clicking, staying in our office or staying in our home. But kingdom vision is about people in our world. To develop kingdom vision, we need to get out of the confines of these walls and connect with people out there in the world, in our community, in our neighborhood. Jesus did that. He traveled long distance to reach out to the Samaritan in that village. And then he instructed his disciple to open your eyes and look at the field. That's how a kingdom vision is formed. But first, we have to get out of these seats and get to our field before we can look. Jesus did not teach them in a lecture hall like I did in my seminary for 5-6 years. I often regret that. I often tell them that. You know. That's the university model that our church unfortunately adopt, and our seminary unfortunately adopt. You know. But Jesus did not teach that way. Jesus went out to the field. He brought the disciple alongside with him. And then he declared, lift up your eyes and look. Whereas I, as a professor, I just tell my student, hey, look at the field. And then what he saw is the four walls. Jesus did not do that. Jesus did not just lecture in a lecture hall. He went out to the field with them. That's one way, one sure way to develop your kingdom vision is to get out to the field. There was a story about Henry Dunant, the picture on the top. A wealthy 19th century Swiss banker, He was sent to Paris by the Swiss government to work on a business deal with Napoleon. He arrived only to find out that Napoleon was already off fighting a war in Italy. So Henry Dunant went to the battlefront. He got there just in time to witness the carnage of war. He watched in horror, you know, as so many hurt and wounded, mainly dying men in the field. Henry Dunant was so devastated that he remained at the front line for weeks, helping the doctor to tend to the wound. You know, after he returned to Switzerland, Dunant continued to be haunted by that experience. He had a sense of God's sovereignty in all that had occurred. Of this time, he later wrote, "I was aware of an intuition, vague and yet profound, that this is God's will. It seemed to me that I had something to accomplish as a sacred duty, that it was destined to have fruit of infinite consequence for mankind." And he quit. He quit his banker job. Out of this depression, Henry Dunant founded the Red Cross, which had saved millions and millions of lives and given aid to countless victims of war and disaster over the years. And then for establishing Red Cross, he received the first Nobel Peace Prize. Henry Dunant's vision for Red Cross came from his visit to the battlefront. It wasn't developed in his office in the bank. That was his connection with the real world that he was called to serve. He was able to look at the wounded soldier in the battlefield. He saw it with an eternal perspective. And he pursued it as a sacred duty from God. Dunant did not develop his vision staying in the confines of his beautiful office. He got that after his visit to the battlefield. Our discernment of God's will for our time does not service in a vacuum. The kingdom vision always have to do in some aspect with the real world. We are called to serve. If we are not connected with it, there's no way we can find it. There's another example. In some 150 years ago, there was another story. One couple lived in London for the first 10 years of their marriage. William Booth and his wife, Catherine Booth. They were in a quandary. What was God calling me to do? At that time, his wife, Catherine, was already a very skillful Bible teacher. She was invited to preach in London. And then her husband just went along with her, you know. But then when Catherine was preparing, you know, her teaching, her sermon, William took a late night walk through the slum of London. And he saw every fifth building was a pub, a bar, you know. And then Moses had stepped at the counter for little children so that they could climb up and order alcohol. Wow. That night when he returned to the hotel, he told Catherine, "I seem to hear a voice sounding in my ears. Where can you go and find so many non-believers such as these? And where is there so great a need for our labor? Darling, I have found my destiny." Later that year, 1865, the couple opened the Christian mission in London's slums. Their life vision to reach the down and outers that other Christian had ignored. The simple vision of two people grew into Salvation Army, which now ministers through 3 million members in 91 countries. That vision for Salvation Army also came from a visit to the field, a connection to the real world that they were called to serve. Do you wish to discern God's will for you for a time such as ours? Have you paid your visit to the field? Do you know the need of the real world out there? Have you made your connection to the real world that God will eventually call you to serve? In both stories, just like Jesus, Dunnan and Booth were able to see their field with a spiritual perspective. A spiritual perspective enabled Dunnan to see the sea of wounded soldier as a sacred duty and opportunity to heal. A spiritual perspective enabled Booth to see the slum of London as a harvest field. A spiritual perspective enabled both of them to overcome the material or physical difficulty that they later would encounter. Without that spiritual perspective, that kind of effort could not sustain. You may say, hey, those are, you know, great people. I cannot do that. I want to give you an ordinary example from an ordinary people. I have three children. Pastor Nick knows them really well. The youngest one, named Nathaniel. Many, many years ago, when Nat was still a teenager in high school, he wrote a Sanger entry. At that time, you know, there was no Facebook yet. They used Sanger. He wrote it about the Miramesa Recreation Center he once visited with his good friend Earl. His good friend Earl was once ping pong champion in San Diego. So they go to play ping pong in this Miramesa Recreation Center. And he said in his blog, I went with Earl to the Miramesa Recreation Center to play some table tennis. Wow, there's so many kids and adults there, hustling and bustling in and around the park. They play basketball, ping pong, and skateboarding with friends. Man, he said, the church needs to be here. There are so many little kids without their parents, teenagers defining their space, and adults validating their youthfulness. I wonder how they live their life, life without Jesus. Who knows? I'm going to hang out more at the Miramesa Recreation Center and develop some meaningful friendship. And then at the end of that post, he said, come join me. Without the benefit of this sermon, Nat and Earl paid their field a visit years ago. And they were able to look at things deeply from a spiritual perspective. And that visit, they connected with their community. They connected with their real world. That was kingdom vision in the making. And indeed, it was. Many, many years now, Nat and his wife are true to their vision. He graduated from college with a degree in urban planning. And he was in grad school at UCLA. He spent most of his spare time serving at Chinatown. After he got married, he and his wife moved into Chinatown. They moved into Chinatown, serving the community that they loved. Now they are residing in Vancouver, doing the same thing, serving their beloved community in Vancouver, Chinatown. What a vision found in a visit to a community, to a center in Mira Mesa in San Diego. Kingdom vision developed as you connect with the real world, as you connect with your community. Do you wish to serve the kingdom beyond your ordinary existence? If you do, you need to develop a kingdom appetite to the point that you can skip a meal for yourself, to the point that you could put aside your self-interest. You don't mind sacrificing your need, your rights, for the service of others. And you actually rejoice in seeing others being served. Let your heart be broken with the thing that breaks the heart of God. And then you need to connect with the real world. Open your eyes and look at the field with a spiritual perspective. Only this way you can discern the will of God for our time and for God's will in your life. Only in this way you will be able to break out from that mundane existence, just like the ferry ride, and make your life to be a difference for other people and for eternity. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, for your example. You don't teach from the lecture hall. You taught by real life example. Thank you for that. May you bless this congregation. Bless each one of us so that your vision, your work for us become clear to us. May your spirit motivate us to get up from our seat and go out there to connect with the world. Because you are going to call us to serve this world of yours. Every inch of this world belongs to you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.